Church, the potential that God has established for our lives is incredible. It's exponentially greater than the Old Testament blessings. Why aren't we walking in them? Why aren't we walking in them? Why am I not walking in God's potential? Why am I not walking in the potential that God has outlined in His Word? Did God change?
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing a message that I recently shared with our congregation at Holt Assembly of God. The message you'll be hearing today is part of a series that's entitled Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And throughout the Word of God, we see that God responds to faith. It's my hope that through this series, your faith is encouraged. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message. Today's message is part 3 of Faith Potential.
What's our promises in the New Testament? Hebrews 8:6. But as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent. Are you getting it? Much more excellent than the old, as the covenant he meditates is better, since it is enacted on what? Better promises. Our potential is greater under the new covenant than it is under the old covenant. It's a far better blessing under the new covenant than it is under the old covenant. And listen, the old covenant, you had to obey by strict obedience. But the new covenant, hello, are you getting it now? We walk by faith, not by sight. We are saved by grace, but what? Through faith. Through faith. Ephesians 2:4. This is going to be in the context of our opening verse. Wait for it, we'll get there. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loves us, verse number 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And verse 6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, very important. Verse number 8, here it is. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Remember, God has dealt to each person what? A measure of faith. Not as a result of works. You can't earn your salvation, so that no one can boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Church, the potential that God has established for our lives is incredible. It's exponentially greater than the Old Testament blessings. Why aren't we walking in them? Why aren't we walking in them? See, this was the point. This was the place where it started to hit me when we started going through lesson 1 on Wednesday nights. Why am I not walking in God's potential? Why am I not walking in the potential that God has outlined in His Word? Did God change? See, He cannot change, correct? His nature doesn't allow him to change. God cannot lie. God cannot do this. God's nature is what it is. Again, God is love. He can't become more loving. He is love. God is good. He can't become gooder, more good. He is good. So God is unchanging. We have to remember that. I think as a preacher, I'm here to tell you, we settle for far too less than God's very best. When it comes to the kingdom of God, we settle for less than God's best. Let me ask you this. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Now, I know there was prophetic overtones to that, why he did it. But on face value, why did Jesus, when he was traveling and he was near Jerusalem, why did he curse the fig tree? Had no fruit, correct? It wasn't living up to its potential. It was dead. It was barren. Had no fruit. Had leaves, but no fruit. Nothing was on it. Curse the tree. I'm not saying he's doing that to us, but I'm just saying the importance of this, fulfilling our purpose. It's so important that we fulfill our purpose. It's so important that we fulfill our purpose that we can live up to God's potential for our lives. Some of us need an attitude change. And I want you to hear me when I say this, and I'm saying this in love, and get rid of our false humility, because all it is this. It's just a veil. It's just a mask for religion. Well, I don't really need to do this, or I don't need to experience this, or I don't need to walk in this, and oh, God just saved me, and that's all that needs. No, listen, God has greater potential because it goes beyond you. Stop looking at the tree and look at the orchards. Are you following me? Again, if we have this mindset that is this, that we look at things very small, we minimize them down, help them fit, we make God's word fit what we're at, we're in trouble. We exchange our birthright, so to speak, for stew. And you know the story of Esau, right? And Jacob. And what we need to do is say, you know what? Let's forget the stew and let's get back the birthright. The good news is, in Christ, it's there. It's available. Children of God. When we come to Jesus by faith, we're children of God. Let that sink into your spirit for a second. I don't know if we need to do this, but maybe we should. Maybe you should get up every morning and look in the mirror and say, you're a child of God. You're one of God's kids. I've said this before, I'll say it again. Every person is not God's kid. We are enemies of Christ, correct, before we're saved? Enemies of God. We're part of this world. I mean, Christ died for us while we were still sinners, while we were still enemies, but we are not the children of God till we come to Christ. Not till we are in right relationship with God through Jesus. We are his creation, but we're not his children. But when we come to Christ, we become the children of God. So if you are born again, you need to look in the mirror and remind yourself, I'm a child of God. And then I want you to think about how God looks at children, how you look at your child. Do you look at your child again with potential? Do you look at your child with great blessings? Do you look at your child with love? Do you look at your child with compassion? Do you want to do great things for your child? You know this, that you can't do everything for that kid. But when that kid gives you the opportunity to bless them, don't you bless your own children? Catch them doing the right thing, bless them, amen? We think of God this way. God catches us when we're doing the wrong thing, and that's it. And he lays down judgment on it. But that's not the character and nature of God. Does he do that, in fact? Yes, he did. He's a God of judgment. He is. He's a God of wrath, but he is a God of love and mercy as well. How many of you have had wrath laid upon your life as a child? We got to be very careful. God looks at you as a child. Great potential. If we're not walking in that potential, if you're not walking in that potential individually, that affects our church. See, it goes beyond you, friend. When you walk in God's purpose for your life, it changes not only you, your life, but our church. In the book of Acts, Peter and John healed a man at the Gate Beautiful. And they were arrested for this. You remember. They were arrested, brought before the Sanhedrin to explain this miracle. And look what the religious leaders concluded after meeting with Peter and John. Look what they said, their own words. Acts 4:13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. Why? Bottom part of that verse. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. Do people realize you've been with Jesus? Shouldn't they? Shouldn't they know? See, they should. That's our potential. Listen, again, these people, John and Peter, are just average. They're fishermen, by the way. They're blue-collar workers. These guys were not educated in the law, trained in the law. They were just good, hard-working men. And look what God turns them into. What? When they step into their potential of catching men rather than fish, look what occurs. And then the explanation is this. These men have been with Jesus. We understand that, hey, they're not as refined as we are in our understanding of the law, but they've been with their master. They've been with their teacher. We can tell who they are because of who they've walked with. They're walking in their potential. Jesus did miraculous things, and his followers should follow in his steps. Why aren't we? Hey, listen, is the word of God broken? Has it changed? You know, I don't buy this garbage that some people believe that the promises, the power of New Testament went out with the New Testament church. I don't believe that. We don't get to pick and choose from God's word what he does and what he doesn't do. We either take it at face value as God's word, believe that he's going to do what he says he can do, or we don't. Which one is it? See, if we say God heals, but he doesn't heal the same way, or that God does miracles, but he doesn't do them the same way, we're going to come into conflict with Scripture, by the way. What is our potential as the body of Christ? What is our potential as a church family in this community? Here's what I want you to hear. This is the last verse, I think. Maybe not. I gave you false hope. It's 11:52. I'm going to keep on preaching. I got 8 minutes. John 14:12. Most assuredly, listen, he's trying to impress this upon us. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do also. And what? And greater works. That verse should haunt us. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And that's a whole message in itself in that part. But let's just focus in on the greater works. Are you and I, are we, because we're just like fishermen here, are we doing greater works? And if we're not, then why? See, this is such a shame. We train people, come to church, let the preacher do great works, and that's wrong. He's to train, equip, release you, empower you. You should be hungry to be released out into this world and do greater things. See, we say greater things have to happen in here, and that's where it only happens. Why is that? We put Jesus in one place. When he says, I go to the Father, I make this available all places at all times. The Holy Spirit will come. Why do we box God in religiously? Because it's easy to do it, and it's comfortable to do it. And it's easy to say, I don't have to live up to my potential. Or it's easy to say, I can't live up to my potential. But you can. If you are a child of God, if you're born again, you can do greater things. If you say, I can't, then listen, go get you a shovel, dig a hole 6 foot deep, and just lie in it. I'm being serious. Because what you're saying is, I can't. See, it's like a fig tree then. I'm not saying you're going to hell. God has you here for a purpose. He has potential in your life. Why aren't we fulfilling that potential? Because when we do greater things. So you may not walk on water. All right, you may not be transported, right? You may not be transported from one place to the other, as it happened with Philip, which is pretty incredible, right? I mean, that's mind-blowing. But you sure may be used going in Walmart to heal for someone as the Spirit prompts you, lay hands on them, and the sick recover. You may be prompted by the Holy Spirit when you're in a restaurant to speak to someone about Jesus and lead them to the Lord. See, my job is to train, to equip, and to release you. That's biblical. That's what it says in Ephesians. We've made church, again, all about entertainment. Entertain me. You may not like what I just said, but it's the truth. Make me feel good. Encourage me. No, I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to charge you. In the name of Jesus, get outside this church and minister and win people to Jesus. Be a witness for him. Serve him. Walk in your potential. Every one of you have potential. Walk in it now. Jesus said we'd accomplish greater works. Are we accomplishing greater works? Now, with that question, I'm going to stop where I began. Are we accomplishing greater works? Ephesians 2:10, for we are the workmanship, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, greater works, which God has prepared. He's already prepared them. They're out there. They're waiting. That we should walk in.
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray that you were blessed by this message and your faith encouraged. Be confident in the Lord Jesus, confident in his love, his mercy, and his ability to do what he says he can do. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Or you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org. Or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.